Lord, thank you for your word of truth. Help us to know how to discern your truth in a world of falsehood. Amen. Now, a warning. Today's sermon is going to be bleak. The things I say don't necessarily apply to this church, but they will come to us because these challenges are facing many churches today. Now, some of you may have already watched a church service today. You know the ones, Joyce Meyer, Hour of Power, Joel Osteen. Some may have already heard a sermon from anywhere in the world, online. Different people all claiming to speak the truth about God, but they're not all teaching the same thing. How do we work out who is speaking the truth? After all, what can we know about these people apart from what they look like on the screen? We can't go behind the screen and look at their character. This is an important issue. It was an important issue in Paul's day. He warned Timothy, not everyone who speaks in God's name is worth listening to. We're overloaded with information, aren't we? Religious leaders on the ABC, blogs by influencers. How can we work out which teachers are teaching the truth? Well, Paul makes a diagnosis and he gives a remedy. His diagnosis: people love the wrong things. What do they love? Well, Paul pulls back the veil and shows us what humans are really like, what drives them, and it's not pretty. He says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. Now, the last days are simply the days between Christ's first coming and his second coming, so we're in them now. So why will there be times of stress? Paul continues, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, fierce, slanderers, profligates, haters of good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now notice how Paul brackets this fairly ghastly list with two groups of lovers. Lovers of self, lovers of money, and then ending with lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Many of the sins that are sandwiched between these two groups can really be summed up by these motives. People who love money, who love self, who love pleasure. And as for the ending, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, doesn't that sum up Australia today? We've been called the land of the long weekend. So many Aussies worship pleasure above all else. So people love all the wrong things. They love pleasure rather than lovers of God. They're disobedient to their parents. They're fierce, haters of good, swollen with conceit. But at least we can come to church and escape from all of this, can't we? Well, no. No, we can't, because these people, these selfish, proud, arrogant people, are in the church. These lovers of self rather than lovers of God are in the church. Hang on, David. Haven't you gone a bit too far? Well, let's read on. Paul concludes, these lovers of pleasure are holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. In Paul's churches, the churches that Paul had founded, there were those who had a veneer of religion. They had the appearance of godliness, but not the substance. They pretend to have life, but are dead. They hold the form of religion, but deny the power of it. And these religious fakes, they're not easy to spot. They don't come with horns. Indeed, it's because they're most charming, you know, the ones who smile and offer you a cup of tea. Apologies to the morning tea volunteers. But, I mean, look at pedophiles in the church. People are shocked when these people are exposed because they are so charming, so likeable, so popular. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." As Jesus and Paul warned, we will always have these fakes, so be on our guard. Well, what are we to do with these fakes, these ones who love pleasure and money rather than God? What would you do if one appeared in our church? Try and convert them? Just accept them and love them? After all, we should despise no one. Like Jesus, we should associate with prostitutes and criminals. So Paul's answer may surprise you. There is one group that we are commanded to avoid: false Christian teachers. Avoid them. Paul says, avoid such people. Why? Why so harsh a judgment? Well, I'm reverting to my arborist background here. There's a fungus, a tree fungus called armillaria. Now, these dead people who pretend to have the answers to life, they're like this tree fungus, armillaria. It lives in dead tree stumps, and it grows, spreads, and infects the roots of healthy living trees until it kills them too. There's no remedy to it. So these false teachers can go out and secretly infect the church and kill it. Now, disunity in the church is always sad and usually happens for the wrong reasons. But sometimes we need to separate when the truth of the gospel is threatened. You don't go to a doctor who says COVID is harmless. That's the time to change your doctor. If you find a preacher whose life does not match their preaching, that's the time to stop listening, to find another preacher. Avoid that preacher. Now, where do we see fakes operating? Well, not surprisingly, they go for easy prey, the weak and vulnerable. Paul here highlights women who are weak. Now, Paul does not say all women are weak, but some are. Of course, not all men are strong. I suspect some of the wives here may have an opinion on that one. But look at where the fakes were operating. Paul said, among them are those who make their way into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses. Why were these women particularly susceptible? Well, in that time, women were not educated. They were often confined to home, caring for relatives, and so they were easy prey for fake teachers. And even though the West today is well into fourth wave feminism, Paul's comments still ring true. Most often, women are still left holding the baby by unfaithful men. And it's a very common experience among women to feel guilty. As Paul says, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses. I was astounded when I worked for Church Missionary Society, how many fine women missionaries were just burdened with guilt all the time. And often, usually, it's for things outside their control. Us guys, on the other hand, we tend to shrug off guilt, along with other feelings, even when we should be feeling guilty. But fake teachers are still around, offering false hope to women who are desperately lonely and betrayed, who are depressed and guilty, Look at the huge popularity among women with psychic fairs and New Age religion. I mean, women outnumber men by a huge proportion at these things. As Paul said, they will listen to anybody and can never arrive at a knowledge of the truth. These fake teachers will eventually be exposed for what they are. Paul speaks of two fakes, the magicians in Pharaoh's court. As Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of corrupt mind and counterfeit faith. And what was their fate? They will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Today we have those who promote what's known as the health and wealth gospel, or the prosperity gospel. But they are regularly exposed by their greed and their fake claims. How do we pick them? Three tests. By their fruits. As lovers of money, lovers of self, it shows up in immorality. Secondly, by their teaching. As religious faiths, it shows up in false teaching. It goes against the clear teaching of God's word. And finally, they're shown up by their direction in life. As lovers of pleasure, they avoid pain. They avoid suffering for the faith. How do you feel about this after hearing this? Knowing that in the church, generally, there are violent, proud, pleasure-seeking fakes operating. Are you shaken? Do you feel helpless? Well, praise God, because Paul gives Timothy a remedy, and here it is. Just as the problem was people, so the remedy is people. Just as the problem was people, that is, false teachers who do great damage, so the remedy is people, people who teach the truth and live by it. And Paul begins with himself. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. My faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my sufferings. What befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra? What persecutions I endured. Unlike the fake Christians with their veneer of religious respectability, Paul is the real deal. He practiced what he preached. There is no greater test of faith than one's willingness to suffer, to die for it. One writer said, I once saw the track of a bleeding hare across the snow. That was Paul's track through Europe. Timothy knew that track. He had seen it. He had been with Paul on that journey. Timothy was born and was raised in Lystra. Lystra was where Paul had been stoned and left for dead, and then went back again to that place. Now, these sufferings are not unusual. Suffering is not just for special apostles like Paul. It is the normal expectation for all Christians. Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life, not just leaders. Nor does he say may be persecuted, but will be persecuted. That is, it is the normal Christian experience to face ridicule, rejection, hostility. Christ urged us to take up our cross. Paul said, we must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Well, why the persecution? Because the gospel overthrows all other gods. Anyone not worshipping Jesus will have other gods they worship. It's just the way we're made. We must worship something. People invest huge amounts of time and money in their gods. Think of their gods: money, career, prestige, possessions, sport. And Christ dethrones these idols. He shows them up for the weak and pathetic things they are. Start speaking of Christ, and people will crucify him again, and you too, in order to protect their idol. If you faithfully speak of Christ and live by his word, you will be excluded. You will be ridiculed. You will face injustice, slander, hostility, even from those closest to you. Expect it to happen. You will be cut out of clubs, of family gatherings. You'll be overlooked for promotion. You'll be ridiculed behind your back. Well, just as it is normal for faithful Christians to be persecuted, it is normal for fakes to arise. As they did in Paul's day, these fakes will continue to turn up until Jesus comes again. We should expect this. Paul said, evil men and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. As I said, a widespread heresy today is the prosperity gospel. This fake gospel is flourishing, and not just in some Australian Pentecostal churches. When I worked for Church Missionary Society, I was astounded by the number of missionaries who come back from Africa, Asia, South America, talking about the damage that this fake gospel was doing in their churches. The tragedy is, it offers false hope to the desperately poor and the terminally ill. We were in a church that fell apart after the death of one young mum who had been promised healing for her terminal cancer. Many abandoned the faith. This false gospel is peddled by fakes who flaunt their wealth and promise their followers that the Lord will also make them rich and healthy if they give their money to the church. In Port Moresby, I even saw a poster promoting a financial evangelist. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. These prosperity preachers are deaf to Jesus' plain words as they travel around in their private jets and their fleet of luxury cars. And if anyone deserved to gain worldly rewards for what they've given up, it is surely Paul. Yet here he was in prison without even a coat as winter was approaching. But you won't find prosperity preachers in prisons. You won't find them suffering for their fake faith. As soon as the money dries up, they're off, leaving their victims high and dry. Unlike the religious fakes, Paul taught the truth and lived by it. And this test of authenticity applies to other teachers too. Paul reminds Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. That is, Timothy learnt the faith from his mother and grandmother. He knew their godly lives. He knew they taught the truth. Where would the church be? Where would the world be without godly women? Women who patiently and faithfully teach their children, whether they're 2 or 20 or 60. Women who faithfully pray and strive to live godly lives, sometimes in the face of ridicule and hostility from unbelieving husbands. So thank you, ladies. Thank you for your faithful endurance, for your prayers, for your teaching, for your godly lives. Thank you from all of us. At one funeral, a granddaughter told of her grandma's favourite story. Now, this granddaughter had no faith. but she accurately reported the most significant event in her grandma's life, an event that turned her grandma's life upside down. As a young lady, grandma was at her wit's end, so she prayed, and the room filled with light. She was never the same again. And such stories are not forgotten. Have you shared yours with your grandchildren? You might even record your testimony for your descendants yet to be born. So to conclude then, don't be thrown if false teachers arise in the church. The remedy is to look for true people who teach a true word. And next Sunday we'll look at what Paul says about that true word, the word that is inspired by God. As I say, it was a bleak message today. It may leave a pit in your stomach. You might like to share with others and pray about it. I'd encourage you to do that. And let's pray now. Lord, you've warned us to avoid false teachers. You've warned us of suffering. Give us the courage and wisdom to face these challenges so that you may be glorified and so that people may come to know the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.